Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this communion Sabbath. Please be with my lips and help the words I speak to be a comfort and a blessing. Help them to be your words. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to dig into our Bibles from the very beginning. So I will invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 7. Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Okay. Then came the first day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, so that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And he said to them, "When you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters, and you shall say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare it there." And they left and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Growing up, as I read this account of the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, I often wondered what this Passover was. It seems to be this tradition that the Jews would celebrate on an annual basis every year. Some of you already know what this Passover is, and some of you may have forgotten. But today we're going to go back and look at where this tradition, this celebration for the Jews, originated. And in order to do that, we need to turn in our Bibles to Exodus, all the way back at the beginning of the Bible, Exodus chapter 12. And as we look into what this Passover was, we'll learn more about what the disciples were used to around this time of year, what would have been going through their minds as they're sitting down to this Last Supper, and what it meant to the Jewish nation. Chapter 11 and a few chapters before Exodus, at this point in this book, the Israelites have been captives in Egypt for 430 years. They've been enslaved by the Egyptians for a very long time. Moses came back from where he was shepherding his father-in-law's flocks. He's come back because he's been commissioned by God to speak for God to Pharaoh, to let his people go. And Pharaoh has received countless warnings. They've had 9 plagues at this point have come upon the land of Egypt. And still, Pharaoh refuses to let God's people go. In chapter 11, the Lord says to Moses, there's going to be one more plague. This plague is where I'm going to smite the firstborn of all the Egyptians. This isn't just all the regular Egyptians, but this is Pharaoh's household. It's even the firstborn of the maidservant. It's going to be even the firstborn of the cattle. This is every firstborn that the Egyptians, like, that were associated with the Egyptians. And he says that after this plague, they are going to let you go. In fact, they are going to push you out of Egypt because they're going to be so ready to get rid of God's people. And then so Moses says on behalf of the Lord to the people, he says at midnight, this is what the Lord is going to do. Chapter 12, which we're going to look at in a little bit more detail, talks about God's instruction to the Jews on specific details that they needed to follow in order to be protected. It's really cool what God says through Moses to the people. He says, you know, I'm going to smite from the Pharaoh's household to the maidservants to the cattle. But then he says, but against any of the sons of Israel, a dog will not even bark, whether against man or beast, that you may understand how the Lord makes a difference between Israel and Egypt. So there is not going to be any harm to come to any of the Israelites or their animals if they follow the instructions that are laid out in chapter 12. Now, we're not going to... I was so excited preparing for this sermon, and I found all these neat things in chapter 12. And last night, I was preaching this sermon to my fiancé, Josh, kind of practicing, and he timed me, and it was 35 minutes, and this is communion Sabbath. It's supposed to be a little shorter. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to have to save this, the details of this awesome sermon for another time, but I'm going to give you, like, the nuts and bolts today. So I tried to rewrite my sermon last night. Okay, so chapter 12. God tells each one of them that this month that you're in is going to be the first month of your year. He's kind of changing their calendar for them. He says, this will be the first month of your year. Plus, I wanted to tell you, since I can't give you all the great details today, read this when you get home this afternoon and read it with Patriarchs and the Prophets, that correlating chapter. So it's really rich, and it will be just really a nice add-on to this communion service for you. So they say, this is going to be the first month of your year. And on the 10th day of this month, which correlates with our April, on the 10th day of this month, you need to take for your household a lamb. This lamb is to be unblemished, is to be perfect. It's going to be 1 year old, and it's going to be a male lamb. This lamb was to represent that firstborn. Not until the 14th day are you going to kill the lamb. And after you've killed the lamb, you take some blood from the lamb, and with some hyssop branches, these are a plant, some hyssop branches, a bunch of this hyssop, you're going to apply the blood of this lamb onto the doorpost and the lintel of your household. And then you're also going to eat this lamb on that evening, at twilight, on the 14th day of that month. They were supposed to roast it in fire, not boil it and not eat it raw, but roast it in fire. They're also supposed to eat it with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. The unleavened bread, you'll see a lot through the Bible that leaven produces fermentation and therefore is kind of a symbol of corruption and sin and negativity. So this was what they're supposed to do, eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They were also supposed to roast the whole thing, not to cut any bit of it off. The whole thing, everything. And they were supposed to eat all of it. Have no leftovers until morning. He does say that if you don't eat the whole thing, you need to burn what's left over. But you need to not let anything go rotten or spoil, because in the morning, that's what it would be. So we need to get rid of it that evening. And the last part of it that it says is you need to eat this with your loins girded. The clothing back then, it was made in such a way that you could kind of bring it up and tie it so that your legs could move more freely, because they usually had long, billowy clothes. But they needed to eat this with their loins girded. They needed to have their sandals on their feet, their staff in their hand, and they needed to eat this in haste. No talking at the table. You know, we're eating because we're down to business. The reason for this was because they didn't know what time Moses was going to say it is time to leave Egypt. They needed to be ready, alert, and have this meal eaten. Like our scripture reading said, this day was supposed to be a memorial, a celebration, a permanent ordinance from generation to generation to generation. This was the Lord's Passover, and it was to be done in remembrance of how the Lord passed over the Israelites' houses and went on to the Egyptians. How that not only did he save them from the firstborns being killed, but also he delivered them from slavery, delivered them out of Egypt. So with this in mind, this is what the Jews grew up. Each year, they would celebrate this ordinance, and they would remember how the Lord had passed over their houses and how they had been saved, delivered from Egypt, Egyptian bondage. So now I want you to turn back with me to Luke, where we started. Luke chapter 22. And this time, continuing in the text, verse 14 through 20. Luke 22, verses 14 through 20. When the hour had come, he, talking about Jesus, reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Verse 15. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Suffer? I can imagine the disciples looking at one another. What is he going to suffer? Verse 16. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Puzzled looks are exchanged. Verse 19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. The disciples went into this meal thinking about the deliverance from Egypt that they were remembering, the Passover that they've for so long been celebrating, and it's supposed to be eaten in haste, right? But Jesus is talking to them, and he's talking about how these emblems represent him, not necessarily that lamb that covered their doorposts so long ago. It represents him. The disciples at this point did not fully understand what this meant. They didn't fully understand and wouldn't understand until maybe a little bit later that evening when Christ was crucified, or the next day when Christ was crucified. Maybe not until after he was resurrected, and then maybe not even fully until after he taught them many things before going back up to heaven. But I want to share with you what they didn't quite understand. They didn't quite understand that not only was this event supposed to be commemorative, pointing back to that time in Egypt when they were delivered from the Egyptians, but it was also supposed to point forward to the Lamb of God who was to deliver everyone from the bondage, not necessarily of slavery, but to the bondage of sin. The blood on the doorposts that they put on there meant that not only was the lamb supposed to be slain, but that it needed to the blood of that lamb needed to decorate the doorposts of their houses. Not only did Christ need to die for our sins, but the merits of Christ's blood also needs to decorate the doorways of our hearts and our souls. It needs to be decorated in our lives, the merits of his blood. That lamb was roasted whole. The whole thing, not a piece of it cut off. Even the legs that wouldn't have been eaten, all of it had to be roasted. In the same way, that was pointing towards Christ, who not a single bone on his body would have been broken. All of it was pointing towards the future. And Christ knew that they wouldn't understand that until later. But now we have the opportunity to look back and see how he planned these things so perfectly. Also, there was not to be any leftovers of this lamb, not any leftovers in the morning. None of this lamb that the Israelites ate was supposed to be spoiled, in the same way that Christ's body would never see corruption. The other thing was that there was supposed to be no leaven. And in chapter 12, which we didn't talk about, but later on it gives more details to this ordinance that they were supposed to celebrate was supposed to be a week long, 7 whole days. And during that time, there wasn't supposed to be any leaven at all in their houses, let alone in their bread. Just as they were not supposed to have leaven in their bread or their houses, so we too are supposed to put away the leaven of sin in our lives. We need to put away the sin in order to get the nourishment from Christ that we need. the Israelites in order to have salvation, in order to be delivered from the Egyptians. They needed the blood on their doorposts. They needed to do that act of faith in order to be saved. In the same way, in order for us to be saved, we too have to do something. It's true that salvation comes by faith and not by works, but we must live out our faith. The disciples wouldn't fully realize all of these details until a little bit later. This would have been a very unique Passover meal for them, very different than anything they had ever celebrated before in the past. Another thing about this meal that was very unique happened at the very beginning of the meal. Not long before this event took place, you can read it in the Gospels, James and John came up to Jesus. One account says that it was their mother, and another account says that they asked this question. But they, James and John, brothers of sons of Zebedee, they were a pretty fiery bunch. They came up to Jesus and they said, "Can we have the left and right positions beside you when you come into your kingdom?" You see, because they didn't fully understand what God's kingdom was going to be. They thought it was going to be this earthly kingdom when the Romans would be taken down and the Jewish nation would once again be a world power. And they wanted to make sure that they were securing their positions for the future. This question that they asked Jesus did not settle very well with the other disciples. In fact, it caused quite a bit of frustration. And even up to the Passover meal, they were arguing back and forth who would be the greatest in Jesus' kingdom, which they were sure was going to happen soon on earth. So here they are, kind of arguing. They're all thinking in their head, like, who's going to be the most important in this kingdom that's going to come? They're sitting at this table, this Passover meal, this Last Supper. And something needs to be done before they can start eating the food and drinking the wine. You see, the feet of each one of those participating in this meal needed to be washed. In the Middle East, some of you have maybe heard me talk about this in another worship talk, but I'm going to share it again. In the Middle East, there are traditions that you wash your feet when you enter into a household. You also take off your sandals. And the roads are, even today, the roads, you know, are dusty. They're walking everywhere they go. They're open sandals. Their feet get dirty. It's just something that needs to be done. Their feet need to be washed. Another thing about the Middle East culture is that feet are the lowest part of a person's body. It's the dirtiest part. And nobody wants to associate themselves with another person's feet. In fact, if you ever go to the Middle East, you never want to show a person the bottom of your foot. Because to them, that's saying that they think that you think that they are just as low as the bottom of their foot. So nobody wanted that job. Nobody wanted to humble themselves to the point of washing other people's feet. But like I said, the job needed to be done. So the job often was left to the slaves and the servants. They were the lowest part of the totem pole anyways. So they got that job. Well, usually when you rent a room like the disciples did, there would be servants there to do those jobs. For some reason, there was no servant getting up to wash each one of their feet. They're looking at each other saying, well, I'm going to be the greatest in God's kingdom, so that's not a job for me to do. In teaching them a lesson, Jesus slipped from his seat, grabbed a towel, wrapped it around his waist, poured some water into a basin, and began to wash each and every one of their feet. Knowing the social status here, and that this was a servant's job, and this was going to be our king, The disciples are thinking, no, this isn't right. This is wrong. Why is he doing this? Even in Peter says it right out loud. Don't wash my feet, Lord. You'll never wash my feet. You know, I'm your servant. And Jesus says to him, Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. You have no part with me. It's interesting that the hyssop branches that were used to put the blood on the doorposts, the hyssop is only ever referred to in the Bible as something used with cleansing. It's only used when it's talking about cleansing something. Just as that blood, the cleansing blood of the lamb, needed to be on the doorposts of those people's houses in order for them to be saved. And just as Jesus said that, Peter, I need to wash you in order for you to have any part of me. We need to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus Christ, in order to have any part of him. That's a really deep thought. After Jesus finished washing each person's feet, he sat back down and he said to them this in John chapter 13. I'll read it to you. 13 verse 12. He says, so when he had washed their feet and taken his garment and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Jesus' response to James and John, when they asked him if they can have the right and the left positions in his kingdom, his response to them was this. He said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And the great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall become your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The disciples were really full of themselves at this point. They wanted to have power and prestige in Christ's new kingdom. And yet Christ showed them an example of service. In that culture, washing their feet was the lowest thing someone could do. And Christ, their king, did it for them. Christ, our King, sacrificed his life for us. It is the epitome of humility. And he calls us that if we know these things, which you all do now that I just read you the passage, we too are supposed to do them. In just a minute, we're going to dismiss to do an act of service for one another. Foot washing. It's not that pretty in our culture either. Something that can make many of us uncomfortable, touching someone else's feet. But I want to tell you that this is an awesome opportunity that you have to exhibit humility. And you're not even having to die for someone. All you're having to do is wash their feet. So as you select someone to serve, I encourage you to pick someone that maybe in the past you haven't shown them humility, or maybe someone who hasn't shown you humility. And remember that Christ died for us when we didn't deserve it. Remember to choose to serve others, even though they may not deserve it. Our classes that we're going to dismiss you on. There's the women's, which is off in the library. You can go out this door and then turn to your left. The men are going to be in the early team room, which is probably better if you go out this door than it's the first door on your left. The families, you can do it as a family. If you want to teach your kids how to do it, you're welcome to do that. Do it with your spouse. That's in the conference room, which is just back behind there. Same, one of those doors will get you there. And finally, the children who are not wanting to participate in foot washing, they're welcome to come up here for a children's story. And this is not mandatory. So if you don't feel comfortable washing someone's other feet, or you've never done this before, you're welcome to just observe one of the rooms or sit here and enjoy the children's story yourself. Also, another announcement is after we've done the foot washing, we're going to come back to this place. There'll be a song, and then we're gonna take part in the communion and the emblems. There's also going to be a lamb's offering at the very end of the service as you walk out the doors for the children, for the school. And one more thing. When you come back after the foot washing, we'd like to ask you to sit every other row so that we can better distribute the sacraments. All right, you're dismissed to the foot washing rooms.